Nigel Ogden with you once again, and welcome along to our special feature program on what must be one of the most interesting and unlikely places ever to have existed in the depths of the Norfolk countryside, Cushing's Traction Engine and Organ Museum. Well, the Thurstwood Collection, as it's known, has become a must for visitors to the area, and over the years since it opened, it has literally entertained thousands of holidaymakers and day trippers. Well, we all had a super day out down at Thurstwood, recording various organs, including the fabulous Mighty Wurlitzer, of course, and chatting to several people involved in the operation. For example, the wonderful old gentleman who masterminded the whole project, George Cushing himself.
I went to a traction engine rally after the war, one of the first ones. And on the way back, I called at a fairground at Putney, just outside London, and heard a fairground organ for the first time since the 20s.
Yeah.
And that organ was in a set of gallopers, which are still in existence. And of course, I had a lump coming and thought, you know what they say, you live on nostalgia when you get a certain age. You know the past, or at least what you remember, and you don't know the future, so you might have a. And you know you can look further back than you can forward, so you have a tendency to look back rather than forward. So my mind went right back the early days of the fairground, and I started looking for a fairground organ. Mm-hmm. I already had some engines, but started up from that. And then, of course, all in the early days, we repaired some of the engines, painted them up, and that was just a hobby. Nobody come anywhere near it for several years, and then as the gap got wider in between time they were used, like the Railway Engine Museum at York. You see, you've got an older generation probably who came because from a nostalgia point of view, and then you've got a younger generation perhaps who'd never seen them.
Yeah. How many organs and engines have you got in the place altogether? Have you any idea?
There's 40-odd engines about here altogether, although they're not all in here. I suppose there's, about 13 or 14 engines in here, and perhaps 9 organs.
Yeah.
But they all got over a long, long period, from between 1947 and about 5 years ago.
Yeah. So you're still in the process of renovating them?
We're still renovating what we've got. We don't need to buy any more. We don't even look for them, because they're very, very expensive to buy now, even if you can find them. The only way.
Well, high time for a bit of music, I think. Firstly, from the Carl Fry 112 keyless organ, built around 1910 in Antwerp, and heard now rocking rather delightfully around the clock. Talk for a minute about the Wurlitzer, about the theatre organ. Did you get that direct from the cinema?
No, I didn't. I'll tell you what happened with that. Being interested in organs, of course, I used to listen. Every cinema had an organ, or every big cinema did. I'd say there was 800 cinemas organs in before the war. And I remember going up to Blackpool and going in the Tower and hearing Reginald Dixon and Horace Finch. And, of course, if I was in London or anywhere there where there was a large organ in a cinema, I used to go to the cinema just to hear the organ. Soon, I didn't bother about the picture. So I It's over the years, I heard several cinema organs played by some of the best players. Well, then the same thing happened with them as happened with the fairground organ. I thought, well, when I heard they were being scrapped like they were, I thought the time would come and there wouldn't be any of them left. And I started looking for one of them. The first one I got was a Compton. From one of the picture houses in Leicester.
Yeah.
And it was a 6 rank plus melatonin. Mm-hmm. And we had that here. It was lying about here for 2 or 3 years because in the meantime we got no organ chambers, no way to put it. Mm-hmm. During the time that was here, I heard about this organ we've got now, which was in the Paramount Cinema in Leeds, a man at High Wycombe. He bought and had taken it out. Mm. Somebody told me that where it was, and that was there, and I thought, well, I said how big it was. I thought, well, I need to get rid of the old Compton if I can get that.
Yeah.
And, of course, I was fortunate enough in getting it.
Well, I have to confess that I love playing the Thursford Wurlitzer and listening to its powerful, full-bodied voice reverberating around the huge aircraft hangar-type museum. And here's a number I recorded while we were there, which rather proves the point, I think. bad old days from the Thursford Wurlitzer. And concentrating on the good old days for a moment, the centrepiece of the Thursford Fairground collection is an actual working merry-go-round, which goes under the name of Savage's Venetian Gondola's Switchback. Well, built to be driven by a steam engine, it's now powered by electricity and provides a real touch of nostalgia. Well, on the day we were there, the passengers ranged from very young children experiencing a new sensation to pensioners reliving the happy days of their youth. Perhaps the lonely nights as well. So far in this Organist Entertains special, you've heard two fairground organs and the ex-Paramount Leeds Wurlitzer. Well, the man who looks after their well-being and that of all the other organs in the collection is Bob Ince.
Tell me what exactly your job is here.
Well, I maintain the Wurlitzer, and I tune the mechanical organs, and I suppose maintain them as well. Sometimes there's faults to do on them.
Yeah.
It's full-time virtually. I do other work as well, though.
With regard to the Wurlitzer itself, how often do you need to tune it?
Right through once a month as a rule, but we sometimes touch the reeds up if the temperature's altered for a concert, make sure it's just right.
And it's used pretty frequently, of course, isn't it?
So once a week, yes.
Yeah, sure. I've always been very impressed with the sort of spaciousness of the installation and how well the sound gets out into this building, which is very, very large, but I mean, the sound is there all the time, isn't it? How big are the chambers? You know?
Well, the chambers are larger than they were at Leeds.
Yes.
I couldn't tell you exactly how big they are. I did know, but I've forgotten over the years. There's four sets of shutters per chamber, eight sets, so there's 64 shutters altogether. When they open, it's like a whole wall opening. So the sound has got complete access to the building. Right. There's no channeling of sound at all inside.
Right. Bob, tell me what alterations have been made to the specification of the organ since it was in Leeds.
Well, we've added a piano to it, which is available in various pitches on manual and pedal, and we've also added some quint couplers, coupling the grate to the solo, to emulate the Blackpool sound in order for Reginald Dixon's two records he made here.
Well, let's hear the effectiveness of those alterations as we listen to part of a track from Reginald Dixon's second Thursford LP. from Reginald Dixon, played on the Thurswood Collection Wurlitzer. And incidentally, that LP, entitled Isn't This a Lovely Day, is on the EMI label, number NTS-205, EMI-NTS-205, which you may remember we reviewed a few months ago. Now, just in case you're thinking that the museum consists of nothing but organs, let's go back to George Cushing. Just tell us about one or two of the other things outside the actual museum itself, because you've got one or two more attractions outside, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, we've got a railway out there,
yeah.
And a picnic area and so on, but that's all come along very, very recently.
Yes.
For years, even when people started to come, nobody had to pay. We collected, had a collection box just outside, inside the door, and we collected nearly £11,000 for cancer research, another £3,000 or £4,000 St John's Ambulance and the local village church and chapel and so on. When the capital transfer tax came along, together the capital gains tax, yeah. All sorts of people said, what's going to happen to this? And of course the value of them started jumping up.
Sure.
And all sorts of people, enthusiasts say, what's going to happen? Has anything happened to you? I said, yeah, I just don't know. And eventually we were advised to make it into a trust with the idea of preserving it, and that's what we eventually did.
That's wonderful.
Whether
well,
we did right or not,
I'm sure you have, and it's certainly a marvellous setup, and we hope it continues for many, many more years. Thanks very much.
I think we had 131,000 here last year.
Oh, well, that's tremendous.
As far as the organ cancer concerned, you've been involved in that.
True.
You get a full house every time.
Yeah, it's very good.
If you get a good organ.
<That's laughs>
but if you don't, you'd be surprised. They've got to be good.
One of the oldest working organs in the collection at the time of our visit was a 101-key Hoogneis Showman's organ. Manufactured in 1900 in Belgium, it's 23 feet long and 24 feet high, and was used for years by the Bekaar family of Brussels on their fairground equipment. Well, the tune it's playing here is called The Blue Devils. Cushing, the founder of the Thurswood Collection, has handed over a lot of the responsibility of the museum to his son John, who is equally enthusiastic. I asked him, first of all, how many concerts were organised during the season?
Well, at present we're putting on about 16 concerts during the summer, starting mid-June and finishing the end of September.
Yeah.
And we developed these really from the time the Wurlitzer started, at the time it was rebuilt. And first year we put them on every fortnight and made a success of it. And the second year we thought, well, we'd put them on every week, and we start promoting them at the beginning of the season, and they average about 500 to 600 people per week.
That's marvelous.
During the summer season.
Yes. And you feature sort of the well-known theatre organists
of
the land.
Organists
sort of
every week, yes. International organists. We've had three this year, I believe, from America.
Lovely. Where on earth do all the people come from to the museum? It's amazing.
Good point. I think it's a combination of holidaymakers, hard work in promoting the concerts, and of course I like to think we get some of the best organists in the world here.
Yeah, sure. Has the general sort of trends in entertainment attendances affected you in any way, or have your numbers been up to scratch?
No, the concerts have maintained themselves. Good. The seasons fluctuate.
Yeah.
You know, we hope to get into the museum between 120 and 130 or 40,000 people a year on general attendance.
Marvellous figure. Do you use the Wurlitzer for anything other than pure solo organ concerts, you know?
Yes. We got a fashion show this week. In aid of Operation Arthritis in Norfolk. And, of course, I suppose our most prestigious events are the Christmas Carol concerts. This year, I think we'd sold both afternoon performances by the July.
And what sort of other artists do you have on with the organ then at the Christmas?
We have one choir from Cambridge, and a girls' choir from Norwich come in.
Quite an event then.
Quite an event.
Going in a packed house for that as well.
Four packed houses.
Yes, that's marvellous. Recordings you've made on the Wurlitzer as well, haven't you?
Yes, indeed. We've made three or four ourselves.
Yeah.
And of course, the EMI have recorded Reginald Dixon twice here.
Yes.
We have had, of course, offers from other well-known organs to make records.
Yes, I'm sure you have. Yes, well, it's a marvellous installation. It's a wonderful sound. Give yourself a good plug for the place. When are you open?
Well, we open now the our Easter week, whenever that is, in April.
Yeah.
And we close the end of October, and then of course we're open every Sunday throughout the year.
I see. John, thank you very much, and the very best of luck for the future success of the museum.
Thank you very much.
Well, our time is running out, but before we leave Norfolk in general, and the Thursford collection in particular, here's one last item from yours truly on the three manual 19 rank Wurlitzer, Love Me or Leave Me. Love Me or Leave Me played on the ex-Paramount Theatre Leeds Wurlitzer. Now housed amidst fairground organs, traction engines and a fairground ride in the heart of the Norfolk countryside. There's a quote in the brochure from one of the men who used to work with the travelling farm engines. He said, "Time never seemed long." And much the same applies today on a visit to the museum, which is open every day from Easter to October, and every Sunday and bank holiday throughout the year from 2 until 5:30 p.m. How to get there? Well, take the A148 Kings Lynn to Cromer Road, turn off to the left between Fakenham and Holt, and then simply follow the signposts to the Thursford Collection. And incidentally, if any of you are in the area this Sunday, Louis Mordish will be playing the Wurlitzer at 3:45 p.m. Well, let's end unconventionally this week with the sound of an 83 years old fairground organ built in Rosendahl, Königsberg, playing Under the Banner of Victory. Well, we'll be back with our usual selection of pipe and electronic organ sounds next week, but for now, with thanks to all the enthusiasts at Thursford and to my producer, Peter Pilbeam, this is Nigel Ogden saying bye for now.
Ogden returns with The Organist Entertains at the same time, 10:30, next Friday evening.